Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your presence. Lord, we just pray as we turn to your word that you'll speak to our hearts today in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Did anybody watch the football last night? It was a bit of a heart stopper, wasn't it? Wow. Eagles won. Eagles won just. Miracles happen. I think they were lucky to win, but there you go. Hey, we've been having some buzzwords that we've started the year off. Two important buzzwords. Can anybody actually, I'm going to ask one of the young people. Daniel, can you tell me one of the buzzwords that we've... Connect? Very good. Okay, that's good. That's very good. Okay, Tony, what's the other buzzword? Big. Connect and big. And through the year, these words will pop up. And who knows that God's a big God. Indescribable. That's all I'm going to sing. Amen. I couldn't remember what came next. But anyway, God's big. He's big. And God wants us to live big lives. He wants us to praise him big, live big, be joyful big, love big. We serve a big God. Connect's really important because I like what Reagan was talking about. We all need to connect with one another. It's very difficult to grow in your faith without connecting with other people. This might come as a shock to you, but we actually need each other in Jesus' name. So that's what I really want to say about that. And today's message is kind of, it's a very fundamental message. And for some of you, you're going to go, I know all about that. Please do not be tempted to switch off. Because I know when you've switched off. I know. I can glance around. Happens with Rochelle a lot. I can glance around. Who knows, I love her more than anything, you know. But I know when you've got the glazed look that goes over your eyes, I think, boy, they haven't blinked for about 5 minutes yet. Sometimes there's things that you know that you need to be reminded about. Amen. So let's pray right now. Father, we just come before you and we just pray, Lord, you'll give us ears to hear and hearts to receive the word of God today in Jesus' name. Amen. Deb read a little bit earlier about Nicodemus. Who can remember Deb reading? Or have you forgotten? Okay, great, praise God. And in that passage, we read that Nicodemus came to visit Jesus at nighttime. And Nicodemus was a very highly respected Pharisee. And he came at nighttime because he didn't want his mates to see him talking with Jesus. He was a little bit embarrassed. Sometimes Christians get embarrassed about being Christians. We should not be embarrassed. Amen. He was embarrassed. Anyway, he came to see Jesus at night. And Nicodemus, remember, he was respected. He's actually a powerful man, a wealthy man. And Nicodemus began the conversation with Jesus very politely and carefully. He respectfully called Jesus Rabbi, which would have been really hard for Nicodemus to call a carpenter Galilean Rabbi, but he did. Called him Rabbi, and then he acknowledged the begrudging respect Jesus had from other Pharisees like Nicodemus. And then Nicodemus even confessed that the Pharisees thought that God must be with Jesus because of all the miracles that he was doing. So that was a very polite introduction to the conversation. Now it was Jesus Christ's turn to speak back to him. And Nicodemus, no doubt, expected a cordial response, a polite response from Jesus, and perhaps even an acknowledgement by Jesus that Nicodemus was a wonderful Bible teacher. And then they could then start talking about theological issues. But don't you just love Jesus? He just ignored all the small talk, ignored all the pleasantries. Instead, he cut right to the reason why Nicodemus had really showed up to talk in the first place. And Jesus could see that Nicodemus really wanted to know how he could be sure that he would go to heaven when he died. And sooner or later, everybody thinks about these questions, don't they? Because every one of us have an expiry date upon our lives in this world. Sooner or later, you're going to cark it. What's next? And so Jesus answered his unspoken question in one remarkable sentence. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth." In other words, listen to me, this is important. That's what he was saying. "I tell you the truth, unless you are
born again,
you cannot see the kingdom of God." You can't see the kingdom of God. In other words, he was saying, Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you don't even have a hope of ever making it to heaven. Wow. And ladies and gentlemen, you know, we take all these scriptures for granted. A lot of us have read this before. But really, up until that moment in history, no one in all of the world had ever said anything like that before. And old Nicodemus, he was stunned that Jesus wouldn't engage him in pleasantries. And he was also taken back by what Jesus had said. And to his ears, this statement from Jesus probably sounded like an insult to his religious worldview. And it is kind of an insult. Because you see, Nicodemus, as a Pharisee, he was a very disciplined man. And over many years, he had disciplined himself to be very moral and to actually be a holy man. When he walked down the streets, people would say, "There goes a holy man." And he liked that. And Nicodemus sincerely believed in the existence of God. Nicodemus believed in miracles. Absolutely, he did. Nicodemus believed that God had created the world in 6 days, just like the Old Testament clearly teaches. Nicodemus prayed. Nicodemus tithed. And most importantly, Nicodemus did his best to obey the law of Moses. He did it all. And Jesus knew all of this about Nicodemus. And all of what Nicodemus did was actually commendable. And Jesus knew that Nicodemus was a sincere man, a sincere Pharisee. And yet by saying to him, "You must be born again," Jesus had basically said to Nicodemus that all of his time, all of his self-effort, all of his self-discipline to make himself right with God was not good enough. And this was seriously bad news for a man who had done everything within his power to be good enough. His mates told him he was good enough. His wife, maybe she didn't tell him he was good enough. I mean, I don't know. His colleagues told him he was good enough. Now Jesus is saying he had fallen short. He had failed to be holy enough. He had failed heaven's standards. How did that happen to him? And please note, Jesus did not say to Nicodemus, "Chin up, mate. You can improve." No, he couldn't improve. He'd done everything he could to improve. He couldn't improve anymore. And Jesus did not say, "Work harder." Jesus did not even say, "Follow my teachings and you'll be good enough one day." Jesus didn't say any of that. Jesus was essentially saying, "Nicodemus, you are hopeless. You are so sinful. You are broken and you are far from God, that in spite of all your outstanding best efforts, the only hope you have of ever getting into heaven is to be born again. Nicodemus, your only hope is to be made into a new you, because you're not doing that good. You need to be a new creation." And if that is true for Nicodemus, then it's true for every single person in this room today. It's true for this community. It's true for Australia. Every one of us needs to be
born.
So understandably, Nicodemus is very uncomfortable. He's upset and he's struggling to comprehend what Jesus was saying to him. And so he just asked this ridiculous question: "Does that mean that my mother has to give birth to me again?" And then Jesus responded and said, "No one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. Ladies and gentlemen, I wasn't going to say this, but look at that last line. You must be born again. He didn't say, I suggest to you to be born again. You must be born again. It's a commandment to be born again. Last week, Rochelle and I, we spent time with our little grandson, Luca. He's now 3 months old, and he's just so cute. There he is. Oh, there he is. Oh, I could just stare at that for hours. Amen. I just forgot, and Michelle forgot, we both forgot, how much time and energy is needed to look after a tiny baby. We forgot you can't just put them in a corner and go about your business. They're demanding. I also forgot how beautiful a newborn baby is. They're just beautiful. And we're not sure who he looks like just yet. But Cherie is a wonderful mother. She's just amazing. And Ben, we're surprised, is actually a pretty reasonable father. Amen. Own son. And we're proud of them both. But clearly, humans reproduce the miracle of human life. And so Jesus was saying to Nicodemus that in the same way as flesh gives birth to flesh, so the Holy Spirit produces spiritual life inside a person. Therefore, according to Jesus Christ, in order to be welcomed into heaven, and that's where we all want to go, you actually have to have two births. Firstly, you obviously need the natural birth. That is a good one too, isn't it? Sorry. I've got about another 500,000 to show you. Just, it's going to be a long message today. No, just joking. You gotta be born naturally. Of course you have. And that's what Jesus said. When he says you need to be born of water, that's what he meant, being born naturally. A pregnant lady's water breaks and it's time for her baby to be born. And so you obviously need to exist to get into heaven. But secondly, then you need the second birth, a spiritual birth. And that's what Jesus meant when he said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Why must you be born again? Now listen very carefully. Listen carefully. I know that we know this, but listen carefully. The reason why we need to be born again is because every one of us is a compound unity of body, soul, and spirit. Absolutely we are. The Bible says this, now may the God of peace, that's hard to read, isn't it? But may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Your body, your soul, and your spirit. And there's more to you than meets the eye, you see. And with the body and the soul, you relate to this physical world around you in which we live. But Bible says that we're also spirit. You are a spirit being. Every one of us are spirit beings. The Bible says that God is spirit and we're made in his image, so we are spirit too. And so the spirit part of us allows us to relate to the realm of the spirit. We can pray, that's spiritual. We can exercise faith, that is spiritual. We can know God. We can know things and see things that transcend the physical world in which we live. Yet on the day that Adam and Eve sinned, their spirits died to God within them. We know this. This spirit shriveled up on the inside, and then death and pain and suffering entered into our world. That's why there is so much trouble today. And Adam and Eve passed that broken spiritual condition onto their children, and theologians call this original sin. And indeed, the tragic human condition is being passed down from generation to generation to generation, even down to us. So all of us in this room have been born dead to God, the Creator, and it was never meant to be like that. And, you know, we then consequently, we've lost relationship with Almighty God, and we've lost any hope of being whole and complete. And consequently, we've lost any hope of being welcomed into heaven in the next life. But thank God, that's not the end of the story. Amen. There is hope. Yes. There is hope. Yes. And that's why we're all here today in church. And then Jesus said to Nicodemus, for God so loved the world. Why? Why? The world's so horrible. People are so horrible. How many people think other people are so horrible? I'm not talking about anybody in this room. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Is more than longevity of existence. It also means literally being alive to God, in contrast to being dead to God. Some people are alive to God. Some people are dead to God. Which category do you fit into? Who's alive? Amen. So God so loved people that he made a way for people to be alive to him, to know him. You can know God. And you can be God's friend and experience his grace and his mercy. So Jesus came, we know this. Jesus came and he died for our sins and he rose again from the dead. And he did this to remove the sin barrier between God and people. We know this. And the price, we know that the price for sin has been paid in full by Jesus Christ. That's really important, brothers and sisters, to remember that. It's been paid in full. You do not have to pay for your sin anymore. Some people have bad things happening in life. Christians do. And they think, well, I'm paying for my sin. No, you're not paying for your sin. Jesus Christ has paid it in full. In full. In full in Jesus' name. Then, and therefore, and this is what I want to say, is in view of what Jesus has done through his death and resurrection, God the Holy Spirit, who I don't think we talk about enough, is now able to come to a person and resurrect their dead spirit to life with God. And that is every bit as miraculous as when God exerted his power in raising Jesus Christ from the dead. And that's what Jesus meant when he says you've got to be born again. Flesh gives birth to, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to. So therefore, if you're planning to go to heaven, then you must be born again, because spiritually dead people don't ever go to heaven. It's not good enough to know that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose again from the dead. Lots of people know about that. But the Bible urges us to believe, but not know, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your own sins. The Bible also says this, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. It is your believing. It's always your believing. It is your believing in what Christ has done that opens a door for the Holy Spirit of God to cast his shadow over you and make you to be born again. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spirit. The doorway to the big promise of God's word is always to be born again. I'm sweating up here right now. Like all babies, my grandson Luca did not contribute any effort to his birth. He didn't do a thing. He was just there. Luca made no plans for his arrival, and he actually didn't have a say in where he was going to be born. His mum and dad brought him into existence. We all know how that happened. Amen. And then on January the 15th, his mum had to work really hard. Sheree worked really hard. And the medical people worked really hard too to bring about the birth of little Luca. And Luca was and is completely dependent on other people because he's a baby. See the way he was just chewing my knuckle there? I love that. Yeah. In the same way, the Holy Spirit is the only one who makes us born again. Listen, everybody, you cannot make yourself a born-again person. You can't make yourself a born-again person. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Human effort cannot produce spiritual life. And listen, born-again Christians, that never changes. Human effort cannot produce spiritual life. And that's what Jesus was trying to say to Nicodemus. We are completely and we are utterly dependent upon God the Holy Spirit, and He's in control of His supernatural work within us. He does it all. Something to think about there, isn't there? You know, you've begun in faith. Are you still staying in faith? Or are you trying to be a Christian in your own efforts? The Holy Spirit is actually at work within you when you first hear the Word of God, when you first hear the Gospel or the good news about Jesus. That's when He starts working. The good news about Jesus, or it actually concerns any promises in God's Word, really. The good news about Jesus that you hear, it's like a seed that is planted within you and you become pregnant with the Word of God. It's divine pregnancy. And that's the Holy Spirit. Something's going on in your spirit. You've heard a word from God, and the Holy Spirit now has something to work with in you. And the Holy Spirit then watches over that seed of God's word, particularly if it's concerning the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And He works with the word to produce a miracle. In this instance of becoming born again, the Holy Spirit actually works with the word to produce conviction in people's lives, in your life. Conviction is where you become aware of your deadness to God and sinfulness before God, and you become aware that you need the mercy of God. That's what conviction is. Conviction of sin is a beautiful, life-saving work of the Holy Spirit. And I'm saying that's beautiful because if you don't have conviction of sin and you have no awareness of your true condition before God, then that means then you will never repent and then you will never be set free from your sin. Without conviction, you can never experience the mercy of God. I am concerned there's a lot of people who are becoming Christians, but they've never been convicted by the Holy Spirit for their sins. I'm going to leave that just there. Just a thought that just popped into my head just then. Maybe we should unravel that. But I am concerned. Conviction, you see, of the Holy Spirit leads to repentance. And then repentance leads to salvation. Conviction is not condemnation, where God says you're not good enough, I'm going to get rid of you. Conviction says you're not good enough, I want to give you life and restore you. Thank God for the work of the Holy Spirit who brings conviction of sin when we need it. And who knows that as followers of Jesus, we still need to be convicted from time to time for our sin. And that's not a bad thing. It's saving you from destruction. Next, the Holy Spirit then is working with that word, and He then uses the good news about Jesus to stir up faith in your heart to believe on what Jesus Christ has done for you and for me. And faith, ladies and gentlemen, is so important. It is a spiritual attribute. Faith is important because faith is the only way we receive all the many good things that God has given to us, including salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Believe, trust, it's in the heart. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. He convicts people, He convicts you, convicts me, and He stirs up faith so we can do something about it. And all the while, that divine pregnancy within you continues to develop, and you get bigger and you develop a spiritual baby bump. I wonder how many people here today have got a spiritual baby bump. Or have you just got a bump? Eventually, it's time for the baby Christian to be born. Yippee! And just maybe today is your day to be born again. And that only happens when you are ready to humbly acknowledge your sin to God because of conviction. You then repent and ask God for forgiveness. And then you surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ responds by washing you clean and claiming you as His own. How good is that? And that's really wonderful. And when you do that, it's at that moment that the Holy Spirit, whoosh, like a mighty wind into your spirit, He makes you born again. At that moment when you do those things. At that moment, that's all based on the Bible. The Holy Spirit makes you born again. And it's a supernatural occurrence of great power that transcends emotion and transcends feeling. And no words can adequately articulate the wonder of being born again. You might be a loser in life, but if you're born again, that makes you a winner for all eternity. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Australia would be a better country if everybody just got born again. That's the answer for Australia. Let's not have this election. Just get everybody born again. Amen. In an instant, you become a child of God, and then you're ready for eternity. Once you were dead to God, now you are alive to Him. How wonderful is that? And that is totally the work of God, the Holy Spirit, within you. But wait, there's more. Then the Holy Spirit sets up permanent residence within your born-again heart. Consequently, you become like a walking temple of God's presence wherever you go. See, sometimes we go, I don't feel God today. I don't know where God is today. I've not been a great Christian today. God must have abandoned me. Well, that can't happen because you're born again and the Holy Spirit is within you. That's why the Bible says, greater is He that's in you than he that is in the world. God will always be with you wherever you go, so you better behave yourself. Amen. Because now you are right with Him, you are born again. Little Luca, he's part of the Butterworth and Warwick families. Little Luca's not earned his place in our family because he didn't have to earn his place. He was just born into our families. Our blood is in that little boy's veins. He belongs to us. He's our boy. Hallelujah. May they produce many others. Amen. In the same way, neither do you earn your place into heaven. Neither do you earn your place into the family of God. You are born into the family of God. God is your Father, and you are a joint inheritor with Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit does this work in you when you are born again, because flesh gives birth to flesh and spirit gives birth to spirit. Now, just checking my notes. Yes, not everything is brand new to Luca. Everything's brand new to him. And so he's continually learning. And right now, Luca, he can't grasp things with his fingers properly, his little hands yet. He's just learning. And the other day, I was just watching him. And he was looking at his fingers as though he'd never seen them before. His hand came up and he went. I said, don't be stupid. No, I didn't say that at all. I was fascinated with him being fascinated that he's, look, his fingers are, I've never seen them before. What are they for? And he was just quite fascinated with his tiny hands. And, you know, it was like he was trying to figure out what they were for. And then, you know, after a few seconds, he just then shoved both hands, tried to get both hands in his mouth. Everything goes in his mouth. He's just a baby. He really can't do much. But he's full of enormous potential and capacity. And one day, that little helpless baby on the screen there that you can see, one day he will be a grown man with his own family one day. I hope I'm still alive to see that. But he'll be a grown man with his own family. And his potential is largely due to the DNA he's inherited from his parents. In addition, their training and instruction will help to further bring the best out of him in life. In the same way, when you got born again, you inherited divine DNA from God your Father into your spirit. This is so important. His royal blood is flowing through you. And there is now divine potential within you. A lot of potential within you that you might not even be aware of. And through following His word, God will then bring the best out of you. Indeed, the Bible says now we call Him Dada, Dada, Abba, Abba, Dada, Father. For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. You are a child of God if you are born again. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to spirit. Finally, in conclusion, I have every intention, and you can criticize me, and I don't care. I have every intention of showering our grandson Luca with gifts, money, and favor. He doesn't even know what they are in his hands there, does he? Funny thing is, that's actually not a gift from me. While I was in Melbourne, my dad texted me and asked me to give Luca, his great-grandson, some money, as you can see, on his behalf. So there's Luca playing with some Luca. I've been waiting the whole sermon to come out with that line. And I wanted to say to my dad, Dad, you're a pensioner. You need your money, and he does. And Luke is actually only 3 months old. He doesn't even know what money is. And I bet you Ben and Shree probably buy lots of coffee with that. But anyway, that's another story. But I didn't want to say that to my dad. I wouldn't even waste my breath because my dad doesn't care what I say anyway. And I've caught my dad. One time we had a family function and at his house, and you know, all the family's there. And I was thinking, where's my dad? Where's all the kids gone? So I went looking, and my dad's around the back where the car's parked, got his wallet open, all the grandkids are there, and he's just handing money out to all the kids. He was broke when they finished, and all he asks is that they say thank you. He doesn't care. That's what he does, just gives, because he loves his grandkids. That's what he does. And so my sister tells him off, my brother tells him off. He don't care. I'll give my money to my grandkids because I love my grandkids. And I plan on being the same. And you better do the same as well, Ian. We want our kids to know that generosity and overflowing grace is the nature of God. And you are a child of God because you are born again into his family. And if some old pensioner grandfather can give so much to his grandchild and great-grandchild, then how much does God desire to shower you with his grace and favor because he delights in you and he delights over you? God's not stingy. Amen. Jesus said, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. So in conclusion, you've got to be born again. If you want to live a big life, it starts with being born again. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. So if you're not born again, what on earth are you waiting for? If you've never been born again, then humbly acknowledge your sin to God because of conviction. Repent and ask God for forgiveness. Surrender your life to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ will respond by washing you clean and claiming you as his own. Just look to the screens. Thank you.
He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath. Away to his wind and mercy.
God loves you. And he loves you with a love that you don't even know anything about. Because there is no human love comparable to divine love.
God loves you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to have fellowship with you.
It doesn't make any difference how far you tried to run from God. He loves you. His eye is on you. He sees you.
God created us in his image, and you as a person are important to God. The Bible says that God has the hairs of your head numbered. Every moment of your life is watched by God.
Oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he us so.
God is listening, and God loves you. He's your friend. He'll put his arm around you,
and he understands, and he answers, and he's sympathetic to your problem.
God loves you, and the Bible says that God sent his Son from heaven to this earth for you. Jesus Christ came to this earth to take your sins upon a cross.
And he would have died had you been the only person in the whole world.
He loves you. Don't ever forget, he loves, 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 loves you.
When Jesus Christ was nailed to that cross, he did that for you. That's how much he loves us.
The Bible says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. God loves you. And God has a plan for your life.
Would you like to be born again today? If you're saying, yes, I'd like to be born again, just look at these steps one more time. Humbly acknowledge your sin to God. So why don't we just do that right now? Maybe you've never done this before. Maybe you could do that. Acknowledge that you are a sinner. Everybody's a sinner. The Bible says that. Maybe you lies. Maybe you've done other things that are springing to mind right now. Just acknowledge that you have fallen short of God's standard. Now, as you've acknowledged and you're humbly before God, just repent. And that means to say, Lord, I don't want to be that person anymore. I don't want to be that man anymore. I don't want to be that woman anymore. I'm really sorry. Just repent. Say, Lord, I repent, and ask God to forgive you right now. Just do that in your heart. Say, God, please forgive me. Please forgive me. And God is listening to your prayer. And now why don't you say, Lord, I just give my life to you. Surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, you be the boss of my life. You be the boss. You lead me. You guide me. I don't understand everything, but I want you to be my boss. I surrender to you. Be my Lord. Be my God. I surrender to you. And if you've done that, the Holy Spirit right now is doing his work in you, and he's making you to be born again. And Father, we just pray over our congregation. We just bless one another in Jesus' name. And we pray, Lord, as we finish in just a few moments, that every one of us will go home born again. Pray for those who have just humbled themselves before you, repented, and received or surrendered their life to you. Lord, we just pray for them that their lives will never be the same again. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen.